Thank you so much. It's been a privilege to share the word, especially your prayers and support. It's been a very difficult, you know, I asked Ryan to pray for me, and I met John to pray for me, because otherwise I did not use English almost a year to speak and teach. And we have 1,100 languages in Indonesia. And so I said to Ryan, please pray, because otherwise I'll be mumbling, bumbling like the president. And I asked him, please pray, don't push me out, because it will be very sad for me. You know, Indonesian presidents, most of them, except the first president, the founding father, Sukarno, has ability to speak a lot of languages. Even you can click when President Sukarno spoke in the Hall of Congress. It's very interesting about five principles in Indonesia. We call Pancasila. Like, believe in one God, one true God, and then humanity, and then unity, and then democracy, and social justice. And President Sukarno said that in the Hall of Congress of the United States. And in fact now, America is more, you know, like Indonesian than Indonesian like America, in many ways. So now the first president can speak English so well. Now maybe the eighth president also, the new president, because he spent most of his life in Europe and using English effectively. But the rest couldn't speak English. Even the longest reigning president in Indonesia, 32 years, is named General Suharto, couldn't speak English at all. He got confused to differentiate between how and who. So one time there was an APEC meeting in Bali, and President Clinton met President Suharto first time. And President Suharto asked a question, who are you? And Clinton said, I'm the President of the United States. And Suharto said again, who are you? And then he said, I'm Bill Clinton, the President of the United States. And the third time, Suharto said, who are you? And he said, I'm Bill Clinton, Hillary's husband. And Suharto said, me too. Because he should have said, how are you? And then said, I'm fine, and me too, said something like that. There's a lot of confusion. But that's interesting that, you know, in the Indonesian politics, I'm not political, but watching closely how the Lord works marvelously. Because never in Indonesian history that the next president, his family, 50% of them, Christians, and openly say, embrace Christianity. And this is why we pray that we will see more revival and movement in Indonesian ministry. Last month, before, you know, we went to America, there was a program run by Indonesian television, national television in Indonesia. The title is 100% Christians and 100% Indonesians. Like, how you become a total committed Christian in Indonesia as the largest Islamic country, but still you love the country patriotically, faithfully, and show the commitment for the country. And the theme, actually, the speeches, the the one who gave speech is an Indonesian cardinal, a Roman Catholic Indonesian cardinal. And he started with the story that every one of us wants to have ideal goal, but in fact we have reality that is not easy to reconcile. And he started telling a story about a mother with her son, a little son. And the mother said, "This is a jar of candy, but don't take the candy without my permission, because God is watching." And then her son watching that and said, "Okay." After his mother came, actually, the boy took candies. So his mother said, "You know, you don't follow my instructions. You know, you are not afraid that God is here watching." And her son said, "Actually, mother, the Lord said to me, you can take candy, not just one, but two." So mom's theology is God is watching. And God is pay attention in our lives. And God is judging. But the boy's theology is God is loving. And there is freedom. And enjoy it. How can we have, you know, two conflicted ideas about God is loving and God is judging in our lives? Because our life is a lot of confusions, a lot of struggles, a lot of sickness. That sometimes we give up, you know, the best and pristine theology about God because we are struggling. I met one of our relatives, very good Christian, very talented and very bright and beautiful, and married to a young pastor, and serve in the ministry 5 or 6 years in this state. And suddenly, 2 years ago, they gave up their faith. And it's very sad. They lost the babies. And they lost confidence that God is so good. And they just gave up. They did not go to the church anymore. And very strange. Very strange. So in the midst of struggle, the title of this message is God Will Provide. That's interesting. What God will provide? Yeah. Your generosity helps us a lot in the ministry. Almost the same age of little Joy, LJ. More than 20 years you have been so faithful. Without your support, God's faithfulness through you is almost impossible to continue the ministry in Indonesia. Yeah, the blessing of the Lord has been amazing. But interesting, from Genesis 22, I realized that the first blessing is God himself. When I was at DTS, I worked as a custodian. Because I was the best custodian, Chuck Swindoll, as the president at that time, gave me a medal, or not a gold medal. But no. It's an iron spike. It's a nail. So big nail, almost 15 centimeters. It's a long nail. That the story is that this nail may be the size of the nail that nailed Jesus on the cross. So I went home and shared the big nail with Elsa. And Elsa said, "Next time, tell Pastor Chuck, don't give custodian a big nail. Okay, something, a gift, not a nail. Don't nail him as custodian forever." Yes. Yeah, but, you know, the blessing, when I was so tired, And you know, it's been so cold this morning. And I got this coat, this jacket, it's very warm. I got this from Loose Closet. And if I open this, the name in this jacket is Chuck Swindoll. Charles Swindoll. So this is why I love this jacket. You know, I feel like, you know, very warm. The song that is in the chapel, title is My Hope is in the Lord. You know, Elisha, memorize it, Sheldy, Dave, LJ. We can sing four verses, you know, by heart. Because the song that touch our hearts when we're struggling a lot, working like five hours a day from 8 to 12 midnight as custodian, and then walking sometime or driving from downtown Dallas to Ross Avenue at night. Sometimes it's like a lot of people drunk and asking for money, but the Lord protected. But the song says, my hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. That's stuck in my head. The Lord gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he raised an everlasting life and light he freely gives. The last stanza is very interesting. It says that, and now for me he stands before the Father's throne and shows his wounded hand and named me as his own. I think the best things that the Lord provides is the Lord provides himself to us. And second, the Lord provides this person, his name. Because Abraham, if you read, called Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. And he said, in the mountain, the Lord will provide. Which mountain? It was the temple site, and the future is the place where Jesus Christ nailed on the cross. The Lord provides salvation and justification for our faith. And finally, the Lord will provide his promises. His promise is eternal, because Abraham called the name of the Lord, El Olam, the everlasting Lord, the everlasting Lord, the Lord forever and ever. So I would like you to walk with me from Genesis 22 with the things, the theme that the Lord will provide. The best thing the Lord provides for us is himself through his presence. His person, his name, his power, his hand, his blessing, and then his promise is always true forever and ever. In Indonesia, like many other Muslim countries, what happens in Israel will cause a lot of trouble in Indonesia, because when Israel bombs Hamas or Hezbollah or kills, like they said, 40,000, you know, Palestinians, then they accuse Christians participate in the killing, because they cannot differentiate between, you know, the Jews and Christians or Muslims, because for them Christianity is part of Judaism. And we call the Jews, you know, I'm called like a short or little nose Jew, because my nose is little, you know, tiny. So we call it tiny nose Jew, because yeah, big Jews with a Jew, a real Jew with a long nose, but I have a tiny nose. But the same ideas, the same mentality, the same theology, because we worship a Jew, the real Jew, Jesus Christ, and the apostle, all Jew. So talking about Jews, like, very interesting. Because one Muslim said to me, how can you support Jews or Israel when actually the Jews kill your Lord? Jesus killed by the Jews. You should support Muslims. And I tell this story about a biblical fact. And I remember my friend in Israel, his name Moshe Aaron. You cannot have better name, Moses and Aaron in one name. Because one time I got scholarship from DTS to go to Israel, like $3,000 scholarship for, you know, excavation or doing field study. So I applied a visa in Houston. They rejected. I said, you're not a part of the country that has relationship with Israel, the state of Israel. So I asked them, you know, how long if I can, you know, apply again? And the consulate of Israel in Houston said, maybe 10 years. So I went home, said it's impossible to go to the promised land. But my friend, a pastor, has a travel agent bringing Indonesian pastors there. So he said to me, can you help me bring a group? Oh, it's impossible. I got blacklist. Give your passport. Within a week, I got, you know, visa to Israel. It's interesting. Why? Because there is Moshe Aaron, the guy who just worked with everything. And when we were in Israel, actually, we flew through Egypt, from Egypt to Aqaba, Elat, from Elat to Israel. So I can see the land where Moses journeyed with 2 million people, you know, of Israel, went to Sinai, and then through Israel from the other side. Very interesting. So Moshe told a story. He was so liberal until one day, because helping Indonesian translating to see the promised land, he became a very devoted Jew. It's strange. I said, why you not become a Christian? Maybe not yet, but that's a story. So he traveled a lot for 3 months with a rabbi from Moscow to Siberia, and from Siberia to Beijing. And Beijing, the devout Jews, asking the question in a restaurant, how many Chinese Jews in Beijing? And the one working in the restaurant said, let me talk to my manager. And then she came back saying to him, sir, we have carrot juice, we have tomato juice, but we don't have Chinese juice. So if you live in a Muslim country, you're ready to be Jews, you know, because it's complicated, you know, world of view. Everything complicated, especially when you talk about Genesis 22, about sacrifice of Isaac. Because the victim for Muslim is Ishmael. Actually, no victim. In the Quran and any other writings, old writings, there's no name. Because this is why in the first place, they believe the victim was Isaac. And then changed to nameless. And then now, Ishmael. The changing of theology, because in the past, the focus of central worship is Jerusalem. And then because Israeli rejected, the Jews rejected, then there is a surah that says that now the center is Mecca. So if you portray the worship, the Temple Mount will be behind them. So the question is, if really the Temple Mount is the most sacred after Mecca, why you worship like backward? And now, you know, you kneel down and basically the ass is, you know, right there. And the face is right there. And it's strange. And the fact, you know, when I was a Muslim, the best festival too was the Idul Fitri, meaning go back to holiness after fasting 30 months. And my child was very wonderful. Everybody I met, you know, mostly the rich one, I said, please forgive me. I never knew them. I never met them, but I said, please forgive me. And after that, I got money. Give me money. So this is why I ask forgiveness, not because of my sin, but because I expect that I got some money. And the second festival is Idul Adha. It's the day of sacrifice. From this text. And at one time, I never ate beef or meat because we were so poor. And during this Idul Adha festival, my parents could get like 2 kilos of beef. And this is why like something rejoiced for us, like a joy for us, hoping that the Lord will give something. And when I became a Christian, suddenly I realized, for Muslim, that the victim is Ishmael, and after the slaughter, the animal, they distribute the animals. They eat the animals. And for the Jew, the sacrifice of Isaac is not real sacrifice. Because if you read correctly, Abraham bound Isaac. So binding of Isaac, or they call Akedah, is not sacrifice of Isaac. In fact, the challenge of faith is not Abraham's faith. It's Isaac's faith, because the person who asked the question, for seven, for example, Isaac spoke to Abraham, "Father, my father, here I am, my son. Behold, fire and wood, but where is the lamb?" So the Jew said that the courageous person in this is not Abraham. It was Isaac who asked question, because Abraham like numb. And this is why sacrifice of Isaac is nothing to do with the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. It's something with the commitment and total obedience of faith. But for us, interesting from this text, the one who breaks the silence to stop Abraham, you know, is the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord, in my view, is Lord Jesus himself. And for two times says, stop. And then saying that, don't stretch your hand against the land. Do nothing. And then Abraham saw a ram and said as a burnt offering. And Abraham called the Lord provide. And verse 15, the angel of the Lord called Abraham again second time. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. And so the climax of the sacrifice of Isaac, actually sacrifice of the ram in the place of Isaac. And who promised that the Lord will provide in the mountain is Jesus himself. Meaning this text for Christian reading is a climax, is salvation and justification. That we are justified because Christ died and rose again. Is the legal term that you and I, because we put our trust in Christ, we declare as a righteous one that no condemnation no God's law applied to punish us, because all punishments already paid by Jesus Christ. I told you a little story. I grew up, as I told you, in a very poor, very, very poor family. Every day during harvest season for the sugar cane, the Dutch, the colonials, Dutch colonialization built six big sugar factories in my little hometown, because hot and humid. And every harvest time, they cut the sugar cane and tastes very good. I just use my, you know, teeth and open like that. It's very, very sweet. But I just couldn't take it without the permission. So if the guard right there and said, can I get this one? And he just cut maybe a meter, usually like 3 meters long, cut a half a meter or a wee meter, and I just go home with that, happy. Just eat that sugar cane happy. So one day, no guard around. So I did not, you know, have a chance to ask permission. So I got one because I thought that somebody threw it away outside the plantation. So I got one like that. Suddenly, God showed up and said to me, you're stealing. And I was crying because I was like a little boy in a elementary school. I was crying. And he just captured me and dragged me to the village office for the village leaders, actually, right there, and that asked me to stand and watch the sun. Well, I was crying because, like, they will put me in jail. I was crying and crying, crying. One of my uncles, actually, as a commando of Indonesian Army, like special forces of Indonesian Army, you know, during Iraq Desert Storm. I think Tommy Frank, General Tommy Frank said, don't mess up with Indonesian Army for guerrilla wars, because they are the best. The communists, you know, they kill communists and get rid of all communists when America's struggling in Vietnam. So my uncle was the commando of 100 soldiers running with M16 like that and singing and shouting. And suddenly he saw me crying in the middle of, you know, a small office. And my uncle stopped all the troops, you know, like 100 soldiers, the special forces of Indonesia, and they said, let me talk to my nephew. He said, well, why are you crying? And I said, the guard who guards the sugar cane arrested me. And he's screaming, and then used the semi-automatic weapons, American-made M16. Who is the guard who persecute or make my nephew cry? And everybody laying down on the floor. Forgive me, forgive me. I will send him a truck of sugar canes. It was for me the best moment in my life that somebody stood by me with an M16. Indonesian best army said, who mess with this boy will face me. And I was, please, please, not me. That's interesting story that I think justification is how the Lord deal with us. Very interesting way. Because the text says, Genesis 22, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains which I will tell you. Why the Muslims got it wrong? Because this is burnt offering. It's like burnt offering that Abel presented to the Lord. It's not talking about social justice, giving away the meat and enjoy the meat. This is burnt offering relations with the the salvation because of our sin, like God against us because our rebellion against him. And we never dispute with the meat because the burnt offering is burned all the way down. Everything goes up to the Lord. And the Jews did not realize that the burnt offering is nothing to do with the commitment. It's first of all burnt offering in five offerings under Mosaic law is something to do with erasing the sin and creating fellowship with the Holy God in the temple. And there are three steps that started with something saying to Abraham. Then Abraham said, Hineni. First, God tested Abraham. The second, Isaac spoke to Abraham. Verse 7. The third, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham. The answer is the same. Here I am, ready to follow your command. The test is presented, and the name of the Lord used is Elohim. It's like God creation. God created the heaven and the earth. All Genesis chapter 1, all Elohim. But chapter 2, preparation for chapter 3, when man fell in sin, there is Yahweh Elohim. That presenting God as covenant God. God is ready to help in the midst of predicaments or problems in human suffering. And give us a warning that the Lord is tested, is examined, Abraham. And make it clear. Take your son. Second, your only son. They have two. Abraham have two sons. Ishmael and Isaac. Whom you love. Boom. Isaac. Abraham cannot think differently. Very specific command. And without delaying, Abraham in the morning just followed through. Genesis 12, the same verb. God says, go from your father's house. Leka, go at once. Do not delay. And this one, you go sacrifice your son. When Abraham left his parents' house, he gave up his past. But now when he ready to sacrifice his son, his only son, whom he loved, he ready to sacrifice his future also. Totally to God. And interesting, this topic is built in the one city. For example, chapter 22:19, Abraham returned to his young men and the arose and went together to Beersheba because Abraham lived in Beersheba. If you read Genesis 22, when Sarah saw Ishmael mocked, Paul used very strong term, persecuted. Other term is mocked or played dangerously. Ishmael is 17 years old, and Isaac only 3. So it's like playing dangerously, and Paul said, persecuted. And Sarah said, let that boy and the slave girl leave this place. Cast out. And because Sarah said that your descendant through Isaac will be named. And it was very distressed Abraham because of that. You know why? This is a circle of sin. Can you imagine when Eve gave fruit? You know, evil and through Eve, the knowledge, good and evil, to Adam. Adam was there, and Adam just ate it. And the second circle reminding is about Noah. Noah drank and then got drowned and naked. But this time the story is when Sarah said that the Lord did not give a boy. And then Sarah said, give this slave girl. I could imagine. I still could imagine somebody with the fruit or the drink. But someone, they handed Abraham a slave girl. And Abraham alleviated from slave girl to his wife. This is where Sarah's, you're responsible. Why? Because now Hagar has his wife, not as a slave. This is why when Hagar pregnant, he looked on Sarah nothing. Like Sarah did not exist. This is why drive them out. And interesting, where Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael go? If you read verse 14, she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. So Beersheba, meaning of well of oath, or wealth, or promise, is became a bookend between the departure of Hagar and Ishmael and the sacrifice of Isaac, where Hagar screamed to the Lord because Ishmael dying. And Ishmael screamed to the Lord because he was afraid to die. And now we have Genesis 22. Somebody picture about Sarah. So silence. Why? He was not screaming against the Lord. In fact, there is a film, a Crown Ministry, that when Abraham screaming to the Lord because confused about the sacrifice of Isaac, Sarah, the one who said to Abraham, you need to trust the Lord who called you and faithful until right now. Sarah is like Mary who saw Jesus on the cross crying but quietly because this is the plan of God all along. And Isaac said, where is the victim? Where is the lamb? And Abraham answered, the Lord will provide. Ishmael about 17, when Ishmael crying, screaming to the Lord because of the suffering. And God said to Hagar, Hagar, stop crying. And because Ishmael right there, if you see football field, in the middle of football field, Hagar screaming. When Ishmael screaming, Hagar screaming louder and crying until God said, stop it. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. In fact, the Bible said God was with them. Don't worry. And you have a woman of faith, Sarah, silence. And Isaac carried the wood. Isaac is 17. John MacArthur said maybe he was 20. He could run. He could say to his father is 117 or 120 years old. He could run away from the plan of his father, sacrifice him. But he was there carried because he knew all along he was the victim. When Abraham tried to stretch out, the angel of the Lord. Chapter 22, verse 1 is Elohim. But not the second person is the angel of the Lord said, stop it. Elohim is the distant, general, but distant God. God the creator and we are the creature. But Yahweh is talking about God is there, present, the great I am, is ready to pick up the pieces. I couldn't imagine the struggle of Abraham's family until right now. 300 million Arabs against maybe 4-6 million Jews with so much hatred. Unless Jesus Christ touched their hearts, they couldn't see the way of reconciliation. Why? Because they treated the mother and the kid like that. But the Lord was there. The Lord there for Ishmael, and the Lord there for Hagar. But the name is Elohim. You read everything Elohim. Why? Because only the seed of Isaac will become the seed of Messiah. There is discontinuation. So Islam cannot claim as the right way to the Lord, because only Jesus Christ, the way to the Lord, God the Father. But the story is very interesting, because when everything is screaming, dying, God was there. When Abraham, in the obedient, unknowingly, but with confidence, struck that boy, burned to ashes, Abraham believed that God is able to raise him from the ashes and make Isaac new Isaac. This is why he said, I came there and be back again after worshiping God of the covenant. I was there, southern of Israel, and Moshe Aaron said, this is the place where Abraham saw the place, because down below the Temple Mount, the Doom of the Rock, he said to Eliezer, I'll be with the lad, come there and go back after worshiping the Lord. Job said, when his sons died, he said, God gave, God takes away, praise the Lord. But Abraham theology is deeper. God gave me Isaac. God takes Isaac. I burn Isaac to ashes. God is able to raise Isaac and make it new Isaac, like our new bodily resurrection, Isaac, as the typology of our life. Suddenly, we realize that Beersheba, well of promise, well of oath, is everywhere in our lives, with the sickness, with everything. I remember a Christian ran away from his wife, his taxi driver, and his mother drive, you know, kicked him out because no job. So he was so desperate. He had 30 pills. And he drank all of them. And then maybe I die is enough, better. He drank 30 pills. He slept really well. The next day he woke up freshly. Don't drink all pills and then hopefully. And he said, God gave me a second chance. And he became a faithful minister of the gospel. Finally, the Lord gave us affirmation. He sworn, the angel of the Lord sworn and said, indeed, I will greatly bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed as stars in heavens and the sand in which of the seashore, and your seed will possess the gate of the enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. The sacrifice of Isaac is the 10th test. The final test. And no more test for Abraham, because the final test, the Lord reaffirmed the Abrahamic covenant about the seed, about the land, and about the promise for the nations. The Lord promised the land of Israel belongs to Israel, Abraham descendants. The Lord promised the seed as the promise for the whole nation through Jesus Christ. And the Lord promised us that the best is yet to come. Then the Lord promised us His person. He is with us. His name is there. Great I Am is still there. And the third promise is through and forever. So if you are in Beersheba, remember beer. I remember Australian, I speak English Australian, and he always said, how do you speak Australian? And it's a big beer, Australian beer. But we have Beersheba, the well of oath that the Lord promised seven times, perfection, that He is there, His promise is there, His presence is there. The final song that I always remember, the favorite song of Dr. Charles, was that Charles Ryrie? Yeah, my friend shared me that Charles Ryrie, Dr. Charles Ryrie, always sing this, like a river glorious. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Overall victorious is in God's increase. Perfect, yet they throw it deeper every day. And this, the chorus is interesting. Trust upon Jehovah. What's that? Yeah. Trust upon Jehovah. Yeah, all of, our heart is very blessed. And stay in His promise. Perfect peace and rest. Don't leave the Beersheba without the Lord, because the Lord is there even when the person is not a part of God's promise line. God's promise is very clear for everybody. God examines each one of us about our faith and commitment to the Lord, because He always there every time we need it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this beautiful class, faithful and full of love class for our ministry, many missionaries around the world. And please bless this class in the midst of all struggles, maybe sickness and other problems, because we trust You that You will provide Yourself, Your persons, Your promise, Your presence, and everything will be okay. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Dodie. We appreciate you coming all this way to be with us. It's a wonderful blessing for us. Each Sunday, Harry concludes with a message that God gave Aaron to bless and encourage the Israelites. He has it memorized and does it very quickly and succinctly. So in his honor, I'm going to read it for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We are dismissed. Thank you for being here.